Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Alcohol consumption in Ireland is down by almost a third over the past two decades, and our average alcohol consumption continues to fall. That's according to a report commissioned by Drinks Industry Group of Ireland, who say that while beers remain our most popular drink, the amount of wine we're drinking is on the rise. For more on this, I'm joined by the author of the report, economist and associate professor emeritus at DCU, Tony Foley, and Dr. Sheila Gilheeny, who's CEO of Alcohol Action Ireland. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might turn to you first, Tony. How did you conduct this report? How did the measure of overall level of alcohol consumption, how was that measured?
We've broadly followed the international convention of taking, by and large, revenue clearances data. So obviously, you know that we pay a lot of excise and alcohol. So revenue is interested in collecting information on the amount of alcohol. So it collects all the information on the amount of alcohol. It publishes the beer and spirits figures in their alcohol content. And then wine and cider is published in its beverage content, how many litres. Mm-hmm. We convert the wine and the cider to alcohol, and then we get the total amount of alcohol generated in a particular year according to the revenue figures, and we treat that as consumption. It's not an exact measure, but it's the closest that we get. So, for example, tourism isn't included. So obviously American tourists here drink alcohol, which we get blamed for, as it were. But when we holiday abroad, we consume alcohol, which isn't included in our consumption.
Okay.
And then we relate that to the population. And again, the International Convention, which personally I wouldn't agree with, but it's the International Convention, is that you take the adult population as defined as 15 and over. So divide the total by the population and you've got the average consumption.
And the average consumption of alcohol is down. Is it down significantly, Tony?
No, it's not down significantly. If you take it to nearest place of decimals, it was 10.1 in 2022 and 10 in 2023. Over the longer term, however, it has declined significantly. The peak would have been about 2001 when it was 14.4 litres of pure alcohol. And that's about a 31% drop to the current level of 9.96 or 10 rounds.
And the top tipple as well, the favourite drink is beer. The second most favourite is continuing to rise.
Yeah, the top is beer, but it's a declining share. At the moment, it's 42.9% of the total alcohol market measured by alcohol. But wine is 28.3%, spirits 22%, and cider about 6%. I suppose the big story of alcohol consumption over the past couple of decades is the inexorable rise of wine. So wine has grown from a negligible part 30 years ago to being the second largest segment with no sign of declining. In 2023, for example, wine was the only one of the four groups to have an increase. Wine consumption increased by 7%. The other three all declined by varying amounts.
I'm going to bring in Sheila Gilheeny in just a second, but what's your take on this text here to 51551, Tony? They say, and they're talking about the average decline of consumption. It could be that we now have quiet home alcoholics, less going to bars only, not less drinking, says that listener.
Yeah, no, that, of course that's a possibility. It may be happening, but not in terms of the figures misinterpreting the situation, because the figures refer to the alcohol, if you like, available in the country, released by revenue on which excise is paid. So some of that would go to pubs, some to hotels, and some to off licences. Okay. So at the moment, maybe 60% of the total consumption is at home, but the figures would pick up that.
Okay.
Now, what the figures don't pick up, of course, and Sheila, I'm sure, will emphasise that, is that this is the average consumption. So the average consumption includes those who consume nothing and those who consume a lot and those who consume a little. So there may well, within the average, be undesirable patterns of consumption which wouldn't be picked up in the average figure.
Okay, stay with me, Tony Foley. Dr. Sheila Gilheeny, CEO of Alcohol Action Ireland, as I say, is with me as well. You're very welcome, Sheila. What do you make of this study?
Well, you know, these are figures that we're certainly aware of, and the Health Research Board would publish similar figures every year. We appreciate and we certainly are pleased that there has been a reduction in alcohol consumption from those really, really very high levels at the start of the century. But if you look at where we're at today, compared with if, for example, the whole of the population was drinking at the HSE lower risk drinking guidelines, we'd actually be drinking about 40% less today than what we currently are. So while there is a positive, we have to really recognise that we have an awful long way to go. And as Tony has said, actually, our patterns of drinking are also very concerning. So Ireland would have something like the eighth highest level of binge drinking across OECD countries. So it's not just the amount of alcohol that we drink, it's also the way in which we drink. And what we would be concerned at is that when you look at the alcohol industry, they are using this, you know, decrease that we've seen in alcohol consumption as an excuse to call for a decrease in excise duties, which is really, I can only describe it as reckless. Now, excise duties...
Why reckless? Because they would say they're trying to make a profit and hospitality's been hit hard. It's difficult with the cost of living crisis. Any help would be gratefully received. So why reckless in your opinion?
Well, because of the amount of harm that alcohol costs Ireland, and if we were just to look at it in economic terms, the WHO, the World Health Organization, would estimate that in a country such as Ireland, high-income country, alcohol costs about 2.5% of GDP. That's about 12 billion. And yet, if you look at what excise duty brings in, it brings in about a tenth of that amount, 1.2 billion. And to hear the alcohol industry calling for a decrease in excise duties, now they're talking about a 15% decrease, and you know, we could talk about millions here, but what it actually amounts to is of the order of 190 million, and that would pay for about 2,400 nurses. Now, if we're going to decrease the amount that's brought in by excise duties, you have to increase something else. You'll have to increase income tax, for example. But even more concerningly is that we have seen no increase in excise duties in a decade. Mm-hmm. So in fact, actually, the values of excise duties have decreased because of inflationary considerations.
Okay.
So really, we should be increasing them by 15%.
Let me ask Tony Foley, who this report, of course, commissioned by the Drinks Industry Group of Ireland, they calling for a decrease in the excise on alcohol, Tony. Would you support them on that?
Personally, I would, although I wouldn't disagree with any of the figures and facts that Sheila has mentioned.
But you can't have it both ways, really.
No, I would tend to think that it's desirable to leave as much income as possible in the hands of those who earn it instead of taking large taxes. We have to take taxes to fund our public services, but that doesn't mean we glory in the fact of taking extra taxes from people. In many ways, you'd say that this is a tax on consumers, that consumers buy a product, they pay a price, it includes a lot of tax. And obviously, if the tax was lower, they wouldn't be paying as much to the government in terms of the tax, the income tax, the value-added tax, and so on associated with it. But just on a couple of the little things that Sheila's mentioned, the WHO saying, yeah, it might be about 2.5% of GDP. And I don't want to quibble about figures, but we constantly remark that GDP is not the true measure of our resources, that GNI modified is a better measure. And of course, that's substantially lower, about 60% than GDP. But of course, alcohol causes problems. Abuse of alcohol causes problems. The fact remains, though, is that our excise is relatively high by international standards. If you took the average of the excise rates, we're the second highest in the European Union after Finland. Now, again, of course, Sheila might argue, well, if we were 10 times higher than
Finland...
Okay,
but let me put it to Sheila then. What's your response to that, Sheila, finally?
Alcohol costs a huge amount to this country. It has to be paid for in some shape or form. And I think it would be better that we put a taxation on the product that's actually causing the harm. Excise duties haven't been increased in a decade. And as a result, alcohol has become very, very much more affordable. The price we pay for supermarket alcohol today is the same as it was actually 20 years ago. So you have to look at these things in the round. We have to consider, what do we want to do? Do we want to put public health to the fore, or private profit?
Okay, look, people in Texas to 51551, their opinion on that. Dr. Sheila Gilheeney, CEO of Alcohol Action Ireland, and Tony Foley, Professor Emeritus at DCU and author of this report. Thank you as well.